Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire in the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We just came out of an amazing time in the church year, the great celebration of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ from His resurrection from the dead. We celebrated just recently the Ascension, the Feast of Pentecost, and now this past Sunday, the Solemnity of the Holy Trinity. The whole work of Jesus was to bring us into the life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the church celebrates that reality. I mean, the church is not just a visible body of people on the earth. The church is all those who are united to Christ, the body of Christ, what Jesus brought about in His passion, death, and resurrection, enabling human beings, making it possible for us to be born again, to be united to Christ, and to share in the glory that belongs to Him, to literally become a new creation. It's already begun in us in baptism and that great work. And one of the things that we see, especially over the last number of weeks, the church presented to us the experience of the apostles getting baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and how much it transformed them. And it's not just a one-time story that we all kind of stand in awe of and an amazing appreciation and inspiration, you know, very inspired by it all. But it really is the beginning of the life of the church. The apostles who walked with Jesus for 3 years and were mentored by Him, discipled by Him, taught by Him, the best teaching anybody could ever have under the tutelage of the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth. And they knew a lot, and they actually did a lot. And Jesus sent them out, and they learned how to walk in His footsteps, how to begin to share the gospel of the kingdom, and they learned quite a bit. But Jesus told them they weren't ready. They weren't ready yet, and that they needed to wait. Like in Luke chapter 24, the gospel, in His resurrection appearance, He told the apostles that they needed to wait. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." The church is born by the power of God. It's not just an institution that makes sense and a group of people said, "Yeah, that teaching is good. Let's just continue it and let's build on it." The church is a supernatural reality born of the Spirit. And Jesus told the apostles, not only do they apply the knowledge that He gave them, not only do they do what He did, but they said the only way, the point He was making in terms of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the only way the church can grow is not through strategies and simple effort. The church grows through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that comes from on high. Acts 1:4, just before the ascension, we looked at this just a few weeks ago as we celebrated that extraordinary event of Jesus being raised to glory, taking in Himself, in His flesh. Human flesh was all destined because of sin to a death-directed destiny, to literally be under the dominion of the powers of sin and death and living without hope in the world. And Jesus began in Himself through His resurrection, the new creation. And He ascends to the right hand of the Father and takes in His own person, the body that He received from His mother. That man, that historic man, enters into, brings humanity into the glorious presence of the Father, and then in union with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus has come to sire a new race of people. He is the second Adam because He brings about a new birth in bringing really dead people, spiritually dead people, to life. That's what He does. That's what salvation is. And we've said many times on the program, this is the critical reality of what Christianity is. It's new life. It's new life in the Holy Spirit. It's not just a healthier life. It's not just a more educated way, or you might say a strong moral system that provides a way of life, or just simply a culture. It has those things as a part of it, but at its very core, it's the reality of a new life. We're born again by water and the Spirit. He gave us power. John the Apostle said, He gave us power to become children of God. And that power is the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things I want to look at this week is how that reality that began, and we've been meditating on quite a bit in the journey with the church over the last how many weeks, looking at the apostles and their preaching in the Acts of the Apostles and how that experience on the day of Pentecost radically transformed them, really made them a new humanity. That's no exaggeration. Literally, they were the first to be walking the earth animated in fullness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it changed them so much that they went from cowards to courageous men. They understood with great clarity what was at the center of the message of Christianity and how people are born again, how people enter the church. How does the church grow? How does the church come to be? And what we see in the Acts is that faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. Just as Jesus preached the kingdom, he said that's why he came. That's why the Father sent him, was to preach the kingdom, to bring people to repentance. And that's exactly what the apostles did. They preached the gospel, but they preached the gospel with great power and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about that a little bit more this week and how that is the normal Christian life. It's not just a special season in the history of the church, that first few years of the life of the apostles. No, that was the beginning. The life of the Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost is like a river of life that flows through history. It flows down from the throne room of God. A new power, a new reality is let loose in the world, you could say, through the teaching of the apostles, making it possible for others, the whole world ultimately, to be brought into the new life that the apostles experienced that flows from the person of Jesus at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And of course, the church is the place where it flows deep and full, and it's the place where we have the Word of God, we have the magisterium of the church, we have the sacramental life of the church, all critical vehicles, those sacraments, to bring people into union, into the experience of this reality, beginning with baptism. But people are brought to baptism through the preaching of the gospel. Church teaches in a variety of her documents says the church is born of preaching. It's communicated through a word, through testimony, through the proclamation of the teaching and the person of Jesus Christ. And just as with Jesus in bringing the kingdom, he was persecuted, ultimately crucified on a cross. The apostles also experienced the same thing. They were powerfully animated by the presence and power of the Spirit. They were filled with joy, the joy that comes in knowing the Holy Spirit and living in the power of God. They were building community, and they were moving out into mission and speaking in places that they would never have spoken before, like the temple in Jerusalem, where Peter boldly proclaimed the gospel after the sign and wonder, the healing that happened with the crippled man at the gate, beautiful. And they stood up, they were transformed men and women in the life of the church. But that's the beginning. That's not just a historical moment. And the church is meant to make its way through history under the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means all the baptized, not just unique people. There's different roles in the church. There's bishops, there's the ordained, there are religious sisters, there's lay people, single people, married people, family. Everybody who's baptized into Christ shares in the mission of Jesus. A Catholic life is not being lived in its fullness and in full health if people are not engaging in whatever way the Lord has, wherever he's placed them, wherever he's led them, to be a light to the world and how they live, how they behave, but also being ready to share the gospel in very simple ways, just like the apostles did. Because the power is in the Holy Spirit, and the power is in the gospel. The Holy Spirit animates the gospel, the story of Jesus, the claims of Jesus. And so one of the things I want to do beginning today and kind of work our way through the week is to see how that kingdom and the church continue to grow as it's documented through the New Testament. I want to look today at the First Thessalonians. It's beautiful. Thessalonians 1 and 2, they're short, but they're powerful. They're inspiring and very challenging. So here's Paul. writing a letter to the community there. He and others were there raising up this community. It was mostly Gentiles. There were some Jewish converts there, but mostly Gentiles. Let's begin in verse 2. He said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul is acknowledging, really with great joy, you'll see here, the reality of what's emerged in their lives after they heard the gospel, after they received it, repented, were baptized, and came into the life of the church. And what began to emerge in them was faith, hope, love, the theological virtues, right? That everyone who's baptized into Christ is given those special spiritual gifts, the theological virtues. And they're the foundation of the Christian life for us, faith. That is both a profound, unshakable belief in the claims of Jesus, but also a faith that entrusts itself, that is a person entrusts oneself to Jesus, to bet on the Lord, to lean on God in such a way that if he wasn't there, you'd fall flat on your face. You're just totally invested and you've abandoned yourself in trust to him. The labor of love, willing the good of the other, loving my neighbor, loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is really the essence of our new life born of the Spirit, and then steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope, the confident expectation of fulfillment of the promises of God. And it's important to see, it's pretty self-evident, but it's easy to forget. What is Paul saying here? And steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is a person for us. We hope in a person, in his promises, because of his victory, because he's faithful, because he's undefeatable, because all power and authority in heaven and earth belong to him, that the new creation has begun in him, all of that. That's what we hope in. And we know he's a truth teller. He's not a man that he should lie, as the scripture says. He is the God-man. And so our confidence, profound confidence of the ultimate fulfillment of our life is in a person. Hope is not just positive thinking, having a positive attitude. It is a grace of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift. It is a persistent, growing, deep, profound, transformational gift given to us by God. Verse 4, Paul goes on, "For we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he's chosen you. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." That's the line I want to focus on, really the theme I want to focus on today and throughout the week. And just looking in different parts of the New Testament, we see this repeated over and over again. But here Paul is saying, in essence, he's saying, "For we know." What does Paul know? That these brothers and sisters are beloved by God, and that he knows that God has chosen them. Why? Because the good news, the gospel, came to them in word, power, and the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. That's a characterization of the normal Christian life. And that's how the church grows, when it's living that way. Hope you can join me tomorrow. This is going to be a fun week. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.